The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 437. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Spider-Man! He's the man with the plan!
So, I wish.
We got Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
I ain't doing.
And Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
Right, hey, you're far in Diablo, man.
What's that?
You are far in Diablo. I tried jumping your shit. I was like, you're way ahead.
Dude, like I started messing around with Corpse Explosion, and I kind of forgot one of the rules with any of these kinds of games. Is like, bro, you want to move fast? AoE farming. So I'm just running around exploding everything, taking down like dozens of enemies at a time, and then I looked up and I was like, oh shit, I'm 37.
That's what I'm saying. I'm only 10, and I was like, if I go in there, I'm going to die. I saw you last night. I was like, I can't jump in.
No, I got a side character.
Oh, you see that? All right.
Nice. By the way, the show barely started. Mob Hits is already giving us the bits, man. Appreciate that, you know?
Thanks, sir.
Yes. Also, by the way, Carlos is here. His body is here, but not his mind. He's watching the Nuggets.
He's watching the game, man.
Yeah, he's watching the Nuggets.
You mean he got getting them Nuggets on?
Getting them Nuggets, man.
He shouldn't have made it this far. They should not have made it.
Yeah. All right, and Brian, you know, he's still doing his moving, so he's not gonna be here for a little bit, you know. So Manny, what are you playing with?
I'm playing with the Ant-Man. Yeah, I was at the Target pretty recently, and I got a special figure, which looks like it's just Ant-Man, you know, classic Ant-Man.
Classic Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was going to say, you're going to see all the new Ant-Man toys in the bargain bin. That movie.
Oh, no. These, like, yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania,
yeah.
Utterly bombed like crap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alternatively, Spider-Man is doing pretty good.
Not to Adam.
Man, not to me, man. That's I mean, it's game-related. I'll just say real quick, it's the multiverse stuff that I don't like. It was over 2 hours long. So there was like,
why is it 2 hours? I mean, the first one was that long too. It was like, what are we doing here? You know,
these people, you know, kids are yawning and stuff all over the place, all around me, not just my kids. And then my son wanted to keep watching, but he's falling asleep. My daughter was like, what's up with this story? And she's right, because they retell.
No spoiler, Adam. No spoiler.
But if you've seen the multiverse, any of these multiverse movies, you know what to expect. A lot of back and forth, to the point it gets very jarring. That's my issue with it. And I was like, this isn't something I was disappointed. I love the first one. The first one's a classic. This one, I can't see myself rewatching.
Yeah. So. All right. There's your movie review.
There you go. Spider-Man. No spoiler.
Where's Dano, man? We didn't do the spoiler alert.
No, they did. They did it.
They did it yesterday.
Yeah, they did one yesterday. All right. All right. Let's get into it, man. Let's start the show off with a contentious question, man. And let me
yo man, who did contention?
Yeah, us apparently, you know.
What we do now?
Let me finish the question before you guys jump in. All right, Kiss Shack starts us off here. How much of the panel's woes with live service games and games as a service is actually true, and how much is quote unquote old men yelling at clouds? The future is now, old man, and there are people that were born in 2005 that grew up with live service games and who are now 18 and legally adults. I see people complain about live service games on social media as the loudest minority out there, and that their opinions are considered irrelevant because they're so tiny in the gaming population. All right, I want to question the assertion that people who are old don't like live service games. Adam, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to use this as an example. Yeah. You're one of the oldest guys, if not the oldest guys on Throwdown, and one of your favorite games of all time, a game that you still play till this day, the motherfucking Division.
It's listed as an MMO. Okay, people, yeah, and right? They think about it, and that's what it's labeled as. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And so, if they go in, and just real quick, on the flip side, he's not here to represent himself, but the youngest member of Throwdown, Brian, does not like life service games. So I don't think this is not a age thing. So I'm questioning that assertion, you know?
I want to get some definitions straight, because listen here, young blood. Like Adam said, it's just called MMOs, and we were playing this shit before you were born. Literally. I was... I can trace the fucking legacy when playing. I was talking to somebody about this when I was playing Diablo. I was like, man, you could feel the legacy of WoW in this thing. Like, you could feel all the slow improvements that they've built over years and years and game after game after game and low quality of life things that they put in there. We feel that because we founded this road, motherfucker. Back in those days, yeah, we paid $15 a month. They're the reason I didn't mind shelling out for the Battle Pass. I was like, bro, MMOs, you pay for them. You pay for continuing content.
Ultima Online.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's the big problem is that a lot of people that like that stuff are just out there playing games because they're games that provide consistent content. I play Elder Scrolls online. I've been waiting for Diablo, man. Like, we're here. Mm-hmm. We've just been doing this for so long that we're like, yeah, man, if the game keeps giving you more and more and more and more shit, then you're going to pay for it. That's how it goes, and I feel like that's fair. Just don't be abusive about it.
Yeah, I don't. See, here's the thing. Like, it's a more of a to each his own sort of situation with service games. But I also see to at least my end, I also see it as like a rope-a-dope of not doing completed games. They can literally release a half-baked game and then have the idea, oh, hey, the Battle Pass is going to fix all this stuff up. We're going to add more stuff in. So. That's just the way the industry works now.
Brett, were you saying just because you have a battle pass, what?
No, just because you have like a bad pizza doesn't mean all pizza's bad, right? No. Like,
Quick, Brett, just to give you more credence here, and again, I love the fact that we've been doing this for like almost 10 years. You have always said that you've always been against free to play games. You've always said that lesser quality, I'd rather pay for the shit because I'm going to get something of better quality. You've said this many times. So again, this isn't an age thing. You know, Brett is old school too, you know?
Anyway, yeah, continue. I expect paying for continued content. Like, here's the thing. You're either paying for the service or you are the service. It's always been that way. And the thing with free stuff is that they just kind of either string you along abusively to the point where you just get frustrated and buy the thing, or they just kind of make you accoutrements to other people's play experiences. I have no problem with them releasing content. Like, bro, I've been playing the shit out of this game. There's a lot of content. Like, Act 3 will not fucking end, and I want to get my horse, but it just won't end. There's so much stuff in this game. What's up with
the horse, man? Because I have a stable. I found a stable. I have enough, but I still can't get the horse. You have to do
it. You need to finish Act 3 to do it. And I'm like level 40-something, and I still haven't finished Act 3 because my ass started doing side quests in the first... after the first zone, I was like, I'm not even bothering doing side quests. And I'm still almost level capped before the third act is over. Like, it's a ton of content here. I don't think anybody... And like, I'm assuming we're talking about Diablo because that's kind of the big thing that brought up a lot of these questions. Like, there's nobody who can look at this game and be like, there's not value in this game. I paid $80 for it. I'm still like, I'm getting
packed to the gills with content, with just substance, just everything about it. The cutscenes, man. The cutscenes. It's amazing to me.
This is like, and I realize that there's a bunch of premium stuff and there's a seasons and passes and all that and shit like that, but like, all that being said, this is a high water example of what true seasoned AAA should be capable of. And I'm gonna say that again for the Tonys in the back that didn't hear, like, this game sets a precedent, man. Like, a couple days into it and you're like, well, this is the new fucking standard. The cutscenes are fantastic, like, everything in it is polished to the nines.
Progression, the inventory, it's nice and clean. Now when you press compare, you're not comparing one item, you just navigate through and it just compares everything around. I'm like, oh, this is great.
You don't need to identify stuff, dude. If you play in a group, you just go into town and there's a portal sitting there that just auto teleports you the person. Like, there are all these great quality of life improvements that help with the game, but don't really feel like they cut out anything. It doesn't feel like they're cutting content out of the gameplay loop. It just feels like they're streamlining things so that you don't have to do all the bullshit stuff you don't want to do. You can just get back to exploding stuff.
That's it. I felt like just roaming at one point, and I was like, whatever. And I just went out there and started doing stuff. I'm still leveling up, finding caves and stuff, and clearing big monsters. I'm a necromancer. I find some weird creatures, like, oh, shit, kill it. Bring it back to life. You work for me now.
Right? Well, by the way, just so we're clear, so you guys would consider Diablo 4 a live service game?
Well,
if that's the case, then this question kind of, like, we already proven the point. It's not the whole panel that's against them. So there you go, Kishak.
Oh, yeah. Dude, here's the thing. MMOs are live service games. Not all live service games are MMOs, but all MMOs are live service games.
That's true. That's true.
Right. Yeah, and here's the problem. Everything was fucking fine. You want to talk about, like, who to blame on this situation? I'll pull out my fucking soapbox. Everything was goddamn fine until you all came along with your fucking Destiny and half-baked MMO bullshit and decided to bleed that Ubisoft poison into every other fucking game on the face of the planet. That's not my fault. I was doing this shit before y'all came along, all right? I'm happy to return to a form where I'm at least getting a bunch of content that is well-polished, put together, streamlined, and satisfying.
I blame also Fortnite, the whole battle pass.
Yeah, Fortnite, Anthem,
when they create that Overwatch, battle pass system, then everybody starts integrating that system, and that makes it a live service, because now it's constantly updating. It's like, oh, you got to pay this every 3 months. Then now we're going to go do this other tier, and you either get these items if you pay up front. If not, you got to grind for it. And then there's still certain things you can't grind for that are
They give you so little. Like, even with Overwatch, there's gear, there's mechanics, there's a whole bunch of, and Fortnite, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. But at the end of the day, these are kind of bare bones arena kind of experience. This is the kind of shit that we used to tack on to other games, right? And that doesn't have to be every live service game. Again, there's Black Desert, super fun game, super exploitive. They're going to crush you under the grind until you give them money. That's how it is. There are some of these that are even so good, people walk into it knowing they're like, yeah, I mean, this is kind of how it is, but this game's really fun, so I don't fucking care. But
was that Ark? Was an Ark was like one of those?
No, Ark, you didn't really have to, well, at least back in the day, you didn't have to pay anything. It was just basically DayZ with dinosaurs on steroids. So, I mean, that was more of a online survival game. That spawned into its own fucking genre. So that's its own thing, but like, yeah, man, like, MMOs, they don't have to be exploitative. Like, WoW used to give you a super, like, dude, $15 a month. You could just, there was enough content to just play that shit all day, every day. And some people did.
Yeah, no, it's definitely with the Diablo. I mean, I only have two gaming tattoos, and it's Gears and Diablo, and that's it. I love Diablo. And I'm glad. What baffles me with all this is because if we go a few years back when they had BlizzCon and that whole thing, like, well, you have phones. I'm like, the way they made it sound was like, well, we have no clue what we would do for Diablo 4. Clearly, that's not true because this turned into a masterpiece. So then what was the problem? Just say, listen, we're working on it. It's going to be the bomb. But until then, we got this mobile shit that we're spitting out there. But man, I really wasn't sure about this just from that idea. Remember, we were hearing all this scuttlebutt of like, oh, there were some issues. They may restart. They were having other all kinds of behind the scenes shit you normally hear. And I'm like, great, here we go. We're going to get a half assed one. It's going to be full of microtransactions, which there's some stuff, but it's optional. It's like $25 to get a cosmetic outfit. That's a little bit too high right there. That's nuts. But that's on par because Call of Duty's charging $20. For it, so I guess that's the new norm now. But it came out amazing, and I don't know why they pushed off so long. Because think about it, it took a long time for them to put this together, and they kept saying that they weren't going to do it, and here it is.
Yeah, well, there you go. Chris, you have any thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, the initial framing of the question is like, we're not, you know, all obviously. Brett and Adam love Diablo. There's live services games that we do like. We played Division 2, and Adam played Division. Like, there's Monster plenty of stuff Hunter. We like. And Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter. We even played a lot of Destiny as well, you know?
Yeah, so there's stuff we like. But there's reasons that we complain, and that is that sometimes publishers cut corners because they think that if you're providing a live service that you can skimp on things, you can dice up the game into an almost infinite amount of DLCs, battle passes. Yeah, And that's where we have the problem. We have the problem with just like the nickel and diming of everyone. And then, you know, things lacking story or corners being cut, games being released unfinished. That's where we complain. I mean, look at what happened with Redfall. Redfall's a live service game. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Complain about it because it's unfinished. They throw it out the door thinking you'll lap it up, right? And you know, and then what happens? People complain. People like us complain. They're like, I'm not buying this shit. It's not even finished. It doesn't work right. I mean, it wasn't – there was problems from the beginning. The theme and everything was not appealing to begin with. But other than that, it's a broken mess. That's what we complain about. That's why we're here. You can't just go, oh, well, I was born into this. This is the way it is. That's a terrible excuse to accept garbage from publishers that are giving you like live service game and it's like, well, that's how things are now. No, fuck that. That's just not how it's supposed to be. They're supposed to give – you're paying them for a product and it's supposed to entertain you, right? You can't just accept the slop that they throw out. Redfall is slop. You're supposed to get a quality product. That's what Brett's saying with Diablo 4. That's a quality product. You know?
Yeah,
that's,
like I've always said, don't accept mediocrity. Don't accept mediocrity.
Yeah, we see so many.
Demand more, you know?
Was there was Rumble something. It's a bunch of them that they just keep spewing them out thinking that it's just going to print money. And that's when we got a bunch of crap. And yeah, you throw a bunch of crap on top of something that's tasty and no one's going to want to taste it because they're like, well, look at all the shit around it. And that's the problem now. This genre here, this industry, is just getting saturated with a bunch of shit because everyone's scrambling to get that Fortnite money.
Yep. Yeah. That's go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yeah, like you guys are mentioning, the issue is not with the live service games that do it right. It's the fact that every other studio is trying to get that same gold rush of incentives to, you know, make as much profit. And with that, what like Chris mentioned, there's an infinite amount of you know things that go through these games, like Halo Infinite, for example. It doesn't have a much of a story anymore like it used to. It doesn't really have as much of like of a multiplayer like it used to. So what's the point? It's no longer Halo anymore. Mm, but it's a live service game. It's so done,
yeah.
You know, so that's it's like every single game and almost every single genre is just they're trying to capture that same thing and it's to the detriment of the game. For the most part.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my problem. It's like you get like basically just a proliferation of these games and it seems like each one is worse than the last, you know? And then, you know, going back to what Manny said, it is also, there's a preference. I've never been into like MMOs and stuff. I'm a single player the guy. That's what I like, you know? I've been like that since forever, basically. Even like my early 20s when like MMO was really starting to get big, I'm like, I don't want to play this shit. So it's not really a thing of age. That was me being young and I still didn't like the shit. It hasn't changed any. But like, you know, has been said here, I have played and still play some of these games as well. But there's just so many now that everybody's just trying to be the next Fortnite that it really just, you know, we have to call the shit out for what it is. And you know, again, you shouldn't just accept it. Oh, yeah, this is just the way it is. Just accept it. No. Do not do that with any media you consume. Demand better of this shit. You know, otherwise you're just going to keep getting slop, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we pretty much killed that one, you know? So move on here. We got two questions here from Alpha Chuck. All right. Also related to live service games, people. Seems to be a theme of this episode. His question is the first one. Whenever the term live service is uttered, it seems to cast some doubt on the longevity and quality of a game. There are some notable exceptions, but usually it's a sign of a half-baked rush or worst of all, pay-to-win game. Yep, some of the problems we have. I'm interested to see what the panel considers their line in the sand with regards to live service or microtransactions in a game and what you are willing to swallow. How much are you willing to put up with and what factors of the base game could make you overlook things like battle passes, online stores, etc.?
Well, you could already look past it. That's the whole thing. You don't need to do it. It's just a secondary option. Like I play Call of Duty and yeah, there's battle pass and all that stuff. I don't bother buying it. It's like instead of like, oh, there's these challenges, I'll look through it. And I'm like, do I want that item? Oh, I got to do 15 headshot, blah, blah, blah. Oh, if not, then I don't need it. It only becomes an issue if it's something that you definitely want. So it's subjective to whoever's playing the game and if it's something that they want or not. Majority of stuff I don't give a shit about. So it's like, oh, we got this battle pass, we got this Lego desert with their cards and they're all doing it. I don't care. If it's in the base game, I'll play it. And if you have the other secondary stuff, if I don't care for it, I won't care for it. I don't feel it's needed. And I know some people argue like, oh, well, some of it could be pay to win certain guns. It happened with Call of Duty. Certain guns you can only get. It's like, well, if you're really competitive and doing ranked PvP, then yeah, that's an issue. But for me, no, it's not. So at least on my end, I don't have an issue with any of it because I don't need to buy it. It's not forcing me unless they take things away. Like what happened when we had a, it's not so much, well, yeah, it's still with Street Fighter V and a lot of the iconic classic characters were all put behind the DLC walls. I'm like, why? That should be standard. And they learned a lesson. Six didn't have that issue. But yeah, I don't see it too much of as a detriment as long as it's an option and I'm not forced to do it.
Yeah, that's my general thing. Like the problem is in like, remember back when we had like Battlefield 2 and Shadow of War, right? Both of those games were made for, you know, with the live service shit and baked in there. So when they actually, you know, listened to people's protests and took the shit out, the games were almost fundamentally broken because they were made to be played with that stuff. That's where my issue comes. Like, if you want to have that stuff as a separate offshoot, cool, just don't let it fuck with the main game, which is what I consider the single player game. But if I'm playing the single player game and it's like, oh, buy this to get to this, I'm like, whoa, 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 you're throwing me off here. What the fuck is this? Or you pause the game and it gives you options to buy shit. I'm like, no, I don't want to see this stuff, you know.
That's what you see in mobile games. You see that a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Games.
You know, that mobile shit is just, yeah, I don't like that. So my thing is like, as long as it's kept away from the game, I don't care. You can have it there all day, every day. I don't give a shit. As soon as it starts messing with the core game, like it did with Shadow War, then I got a problem, you know?
What if it's just more game?
What do you mean?
What if, like, you know, like, expansion? God forbid, like, it's just a game they keep supporting and adding content to.
That could get frustrating. You're like, I beat the game already. Oh, actually, perfect example. Assassin's Creed games, the last three of them, right? They have the main game, and then they keep releasing DLCs for them. Yeah. And my thing is like, I've already spent like over 100 hours on the main game. I'm good, you know? But to answer your question, it doesn't bother me. If you people want to play that, sure. I'm just done with it. Understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, are they trying to make... Here's the thing that I think the key difference is like, is it fun? And I know that sounds like a dumb thing, but like, think about it for a second. A lot of the games that do abusive business practices, you're not really having fun. You're not designed to. In fact, you're very specifically designed not to be having fun. You're designed, it's designed to keep you compulsed to keep doing it. Yeah. But you're not really enjoying the loop. And the more that they cause you to not enjoy the loop, the more money that they can kind of wring out of you by making your life difficult. Those, in my opinions, are the ones that are the antithesis of my being, because gaming should be fun. If you're going out of your way to make it not fun to get money out of me, then fuck you. That's just the way I look at it, at least.
That's true. That's it.
Yeah. All right, anybody else?
Get mad, you're ruining my game. And I don't like people ruining my game. I don't care if you're even people who made it. Quit ruining this shit.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel. Don't ruin my motherfucking game, you know, with this bullshit. All right.
I think always think that the biggest issue with a lot of these things, it's like they're all trying to hit so many check marks, as opposed to just trying to go focus on one specific thing, you know. Yeah. It only does everything. No, maybe you don't need to do everything, you know.
Yeah, Chris, would you call it the Applebee's of gaming? That's what you know. It's like everything now, you know.
That's right. They're aiming for dead center, right? Don't just give people what they want.
Yeah,
we've seen this before.
Yeah.
With multiplayer. Remember when multiplayer became a big thing? Next, you know, everything had to have Tomb Raider, everybody.
And it had these lousy mm-hmm. attempts at multiplayer. It's the same thing as them trying to catch that Fortnite glow or that PUBG glow. Because it has nothing to do with anything. They just saw it work somewhere else and they said, okay, maybe we could get more shit out of this. No. Yeah.
No. And it's just because there's execs behind the scenes that don't pay attention. They just hear the big hype words and we're like, oh, this and that. It's like, well, does this game have it? We're giving all this money and we are expecting investment to add that. Why can't you add that? Well, it's not that we can't, but it really wouldn't match everything. It doesn't matter. Just throw it in there. And then we get these tacked on modes that don't make sense.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. This one we always get kind of asked. But I'll go with it. Do you have any obscure or cult non-AAA games that are among your favorites that people would be surprised that you play, or any games that are out of character for your normal taste. For example, I love Factorio on PC, but would be surprised if many people knew what it was. So I'll allow this one because the twist is that people would be surprised you play.
I don't know. I mean, for me, all the games that sort of fit, you know, sort of fit the same sort of, you know, narrative of me, unless, you know, unless I sort of somehow decide to play some sort of sport game, you know?
Yeah. By the way, Manny, that's literally the same answer you've given and that I've given. Like, yeah. I play the games that I typically like, so
yeah.
No.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is that, like, even if it's a, like, I'll say this, if it's a genre that I don't usually play, but something about this version of that genre, gets me into playing that specific game, I guess that would be not normal for me, but they still sort of fit the same narrative. Like, I would say the one, like, this is not even, like a cult game, you know, like BioShock Infinite, right? I don't like first-person shooters at all. Don't like them. But the story to that game was compelling enough for me to be like, all right, I'll play this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I liked it. But I'm not going to go out of my way to play any first-person shooter games for the most part.
Yeah. By the way, Mark Bitz goes, Tony likes playing Splatoon on the weekends. You got me. You got me.
Oh, I mean, man. Everybody
especially,
knows.
Especially Martin, when his nieces and nephews are over.
Yeah, they don't play that. They play Fortnite, you know.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I do. I play Fortnite on the weekends. There you go. You got me. Like, I saw you logged in, Tony. Anyway, does anybody here play any games that people would be surprised they play?
You guys already know mine. So everybody.
Table tennis?
There is no other. Yeah, because there is no other one. That's it. So people still don't even realize that it's backward compatible. They're like, well, damn, you got to plug your 360 to play that shit or play the Wii version? It's like, no, it's backward. It's on there, but it's the forgotten one because no one talks about it. Rockstar doesn't talk about it. They produced it. Microsoft paid for it. They don't talk about it. Talk about all the other shit, Fable, all the things that they want to bring back. I don't hear anybody else besides myself trying to convince these studios to bring back this game or at least make another one. Hell, it wasn't even added in Grand Theft Auto 5, and I thought for sure it would be something, especially in the mansion that Michael had. But no, he has a full tennis court in the back, but he doesn't have a fucking ping pong table in the basement? Come on. That was bullshit. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. Chris, do you have any games that people would be surprised that you play?
Shit.
Those sexy games on Steam, the nudie ones. That would be a shocker, right? If anybody.
I can't think of any. If I go through, I did try some like really low budget indie games, like Titan Chaser, and I was just trying that shit out, and it was fun. But they're like bare bones games. So there's some things I try because either it's on a Steam sale or PlayStation sale for like $4. I'm like, oh, there's a zombie killing game for $4, and I played for 5 minutes. I'm like, I see why this is $4. Like, this is terrible. But I don't think it's shocking. It's just some of those are impulse buys where I'm just like, I just want to try this out. Hey, I like driving a car and chasing giants. That sounds fun.
Hey, man, that Marlo Briggs, $1, and
I picked up Marlo Briggs.
Yeah, it'll give you some play. Yeah, it's not bad for $1.
But so I don't think that's surprising though. Shit, I don't play like Candy Crush or anything. I'm trying to think like what the hell would people do I play that people would be shocked at? I don't play anything out of the ordinary for me.
I card battle games. I do have some. I don't put.
I don't play those.
Yeah, I do have some that I haven't put. What was it? I can't even. I'm blanking on the name, but there was something.
You're playing that Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, Yu-Gi-Oh, but there was something. There was Slay the Spire, something like that. There was a few that I
played. Oh, Slay the Spire.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, this ain't too bad. And it still interests me. I still want to get into those things, but I don't know, something about it. Like, I recently had that Midnight Sun, you know, and I picked that up. It was on a sale. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to play. And then I'm reading instructions and looking at the cards. I'm like, I don't got the patience for this shit. That's really what it comes down to. Back in the day, give me a stack of magic cards and stuff. I'll sit there all day. Let's strategize. Let me build my deck. I don't have that patience anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Carlos, do you have any games that people would be surprised you play? And the answer can't be video games.
It can't.
No, yeah, the joke, it wasn't a good joke. You know,
it's like, was it a chess joke or?
No, yeah. No, no, it was just a joke like you don't play games.
Ah.
It was a bad joke. It was a bad joke.
No, no worries, no worries. No worries. I should have gotten it though. That I'm playing right now or that I play often currently, probably not, but maybe that I played a lot back in the day. Awesome Knots. I don't know if anybody.
I remember that. That was the game that made me realize I don't like that genre.
The MOBAs?
Yeah, MOBAs. I'm like, what the? Because I was like, oh, this is some cool Saturday morning cartoon shit. Let's fucking go. And then the intro was dope. That song, I'm like, let's fucking go. Then I play. I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
You know? Tim Schafer games.
Yeah, and then I was done.
Yeah, so that's one. You know, everybody knows I played Heroes of the Storm. At least people have listened for a while. But yeah, Awesome Knots is one of those games that I played a lot. I think I played over 400 hours. So
damn,
pretty significant. Yeah,
that's a lot. Kish Shack, what's going on, brother? By the way, we answered your question and we kind of debunked it. A bunch of guys here like live service games. It's just some of the ways that some of them done are bullshit. But Adam, again, the oldest guy here, he loves him some motherfucking Division. So that debunks it right there. You know. Brett, are there any games that you play that people would be surprised that you play?
I mean, are there any games that you'd be surprised that I play?
That exactly. I'm like, Brett, you're like all over the place, so I don't think anybody would be surprised. You know, actually, I'd be surprised if Brett comes in here. Man, I love Horizon Zero Dawn. That's what I'd be surprised.
MX versus ATV. You know, I'd be surprised if he's like that or any surfing games.
What's the name of that skateboarding game in San Francisco and it was snowing and shit? What was the name of that one? They made fun of it on X-Play. You know,
skateboarding game.
Dave Mirra or something like, I don't know, but it was like a skateboard. It was like a snowboarding game in San Francisco.
Snowboarding
game in San Francisco. Yeah, that was the joke. It's like, what the fuck? You know, and they even had like a live action cover. It's like, let's go snowboarding in San Francisco, dude.
Oh, God. I do vaguely remember that. Thank you for that, Tony.
Yes. Oh, man. All right. But yeah, like, me and Manny, like, we don't really play it. Like, we play the games that you think that none of the games that we play is will surprise you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is it's like, if in general, they just make sense to me. If they make sense to me, then it doesn't mean that it's so out of the beaten path, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless I totally know that it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, all right. We'll end up answering this question again next year. It's a form of it. It's every year it pops up. All right, another one. I like this name. This is a new one, too. Atari 2600. I like that, man. He spelled it all fun, but yeah. This is a question we've been asked before, too, but, you know, he's a first-timer. We'll go for it. Who are your Street Fighter mains and why? I do not have a Street Fighter main. It's the way Manny and I kind of grew up. Like, we purposely made sure, do not keep using the same person over and over again. You got a whole roster, use the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. There are most definitely characters that we're better at using or like, but I don't stick to just one character because to me that, you know, I know like the SGC guys like, yeah, my main, you know, this is the only character I'm using. I'm like, that's fucking boring.
Yeah, I remember. The first time I even heard of a main was around, you know, when Street Fighter 4 blew up. Like, who's your main? My main? What the hell are you talking about? You know? But then I found out it's like people just stick with one character, which it makes sense because if you want to master someone, sure. But I'm like, I got a whole roster here, bro. Like, I'm going to go around. And as a matter of fact, back in the day when we used to play, I purposely, because my main guy was my favorite guy was Akuma, right? I would purposely not pick him. I would like, no, that's my favorite guy. I'm not going to pick him. I'm going to pick the secondary people, you know, or the tertiary people. Because, and then when shit got real, then it's like, all right, got to bring out Akuma, you know.
Or Ryan.
Yeah, any of the Shoto brothers, you know. But again, because those are the people who I was more inclined towards, I purposely wouldn't pick them as much. You know, it's like, all right, man, let's go for Zangief. Let's go for Dawson. I don't like those characters, but listen, they're there. You got to play them. You know, that's my philosophy, at least.
Yeah, to me, I just always sort of was like, you know, I'm going to have the favorites. But I mean, to me, it's all boring because you sort of play like a certain way with certain characters. So So if you're just constantly playing the same, you know, characters over and over and over again until you beat each other, that's sort of boring to me.
Yeah.
Like that's like, you know, I don't know. It may, you know, again, people probably see things like this a little bit differently now, obviously.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But I just like, you know, if we're in a room playing together, I'm going to switch it up.
Yeah.
Because it's a character you may not totally know so well, or you have this, you know, it sometimes that can catch your other player, you know, the person that you're fighting against off guard. Like if they're used to you playing one character, you switch it out to another person, or you switch it to one that you're totally not used to, and you end up winning because you're just playing it a different way.
See, you're talking in a PvP perspective then. Because I thought it was just like, what, these people, they purchase this game and they only play one all the time. It has nothing to just do with multiplayer. It's just that they don't want to play with anybody else.
Yeah. Again, we're not saying that's wrong. We're just saying we don't
have. No, it's not saying it's wrong. But yeah. I mean, at least personally, I find it boring. Because, again, like if we're sitting in a room or if it's just people just constantly going back and forth with the same two fucking characters, I don't know. It just seems like,
Yeah, it's boring, yeah. But that's just us. That's just us, you know. Adam, do you have a main?
I have a main, Ryu, because he's a wizard, so I use him. And Cody was my other one, the XCOM version, where he throws the ball. I love that ball when he's just and like bowling and bring it back. It almost had that that Mortal Kombat feel, like Scorpion in a way, because he would like pull on the legs. And then Lobo also did that in Injustice, you know. Just drag them. But those are my two. And then I play with all of them, though. I think one of the best things with all these type of fighting games is at least with the Street Fighters, because there's stories for each one. Yeah. So go ahead, jump in, play, do the story. And then at the same time, you're learning something new about the character. You may be like, oh, wow, I actually like this combo that he does. And then you go in the training room and then you see all the moves. And then you're like, oh, wow, I have a new favorite. So it's worth trying out. But I mean, we all have our go-tos. And if I just, like, even when Street Fighter 6 before anything, the first thing I did was I jumped into Ryu because I want to see how he feels. Does he feel like how I used to feel in all the other one? But, you got to play with all of them. That's the whole point of the game, right? If you just stick with one, then it's not much of a game. Kind of boring.
Yeah. Chris, do you have a main?
Way back in Street Fighter 2 and 3 was Ken. But after Street Fighter 4, I started trying different characters and try not to stick to one guy. Like, I used to do that. Actually, when I started Street Fighter 2, it was Guile, and then I switched to Ken. And then Street Fighter 3, I just used Ken. And then Street Fighter Alpha also. And 4, I started using a variety of guys. Because the roster just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was like, I might as well just change it up. Like, try a grappler. Like, try Alex, because he's a grappler. And try, you know, what's his name? Seth, when they added him as playable and this stuff. But and then at Street Fighter 5, I really just dropped off. I really didn't get into
five.
The question should be, who's the least favorite? I mean, least there's favorite always character? One that no one likes to play. Mine's D Honda. I don't like E Honda.
I have fun with him.
Yeah, I'm okay with D Honda.
Yeah, but again, just because I've gone through the whole roster, even though there are, again, probably on the bottom of the list would be Dalsum and Zangief, but I'm still decent with them just because I learned how to play with them, you know?
I always felt like they fucked up Blanca from Street Fighter 2. It just never felt the same.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Because you could cheese the shit out of them, man.
Just slap the shit out of them and then shock the shit out of them. You catch them in the corner, sweep them. When they're about to get up, shock them, sweep them, shock them, sweep them.
I miss my cheese. What can I say?
Essentially where like you do the shootout with the ball move. And then as he, you know, every single time Blanca hits you with that move, he flies backwards and then you're holding it. And then you can easily just do another one.
I used to spam the shit out of that with him and Killer Instinct, Sindor. Like, it used to be the kind of same thing.
Yeah.
The spinny shit that runs.
Same thing with M. Bison. You could literally have a constant chain of just psycho crushing like across the screen.
You know, I love the new Street Fighter 6, awesome, but that drive system, if someone masters it, that's it. It's done, because you can't break out of it. If they just catch you with one of those supers, it's like, and next you're using your whole body, your whole bar just disintegrate. It's like, shit, I get it. It's a little too overpowering right now.
Yeah. No, that drive system has fucking saved me a bunch of times, man.
You see, there you know,
you,
go.
I'm like, you know, somebody said, like, just bam, you know, hit them and shit. Mm-hmm. I think, and I've already like incorporated into my play. It's fucking dope, man. Mm-hmm. All right.
Unless you're receiving it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is brutal. Brett, do you have any mains in Street Fighter?
I mean, I think everybody has a main that like a main guy. Not that I used exclusively, but yeah, it was, I Dalsim was my guy.
Nice. See, that's a good one to pick because since not a lot of people pick them, you won't know what to do against them. You know, so that's a smart choice right there. You know.
Yeah, just because he doesn't have the strongest fireballs, he's got the moves and he's got the control, man.
Yeah, the teleportation. And listen, if you master Dalsim, you fuck everybody up. Shit. You know.
You know what? In six, that Kimberly character. If someone masters Kimberly, the way she can teleport and do all that shit, that could be the new beast right there. Just that character.
Yeah.
For me, it was Zangief, man. I'm like, motherfucker grappling me again?
Damn. Yeah, yo, two moves fucking kill you, you know?
Catch your ass in midair after he already beat your ass. Hurricane sit down,
powerbomb. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yo, it's funny because in Street Fighter VI, you know, they have that World Tour story mode, right? And some of the characters that you fight are based off of Street Fighter characters, right? At least their moveset. There's this one guy, I just call him Type. So I'm like, I was fighting this Dalsim Type. Yo, he was wrecking my, like, I was playing the whole World Tour mode fine, no problems. I get to this one dude, he was wrecking my shit because he kept me away. Like, it was either the fireballs or the long, stretchy arms. Like, you son of a bitch, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good stuff, man.
Yeah, you know, you fucked up when you hear, like, yoga fire, yoga fire, yoga fire, yoga flame.
Yeah, but then, so yoga teleport, like, oh, fuck, let's go, you know? All right, good stuff. Moving on here. Related question for Mr. Mob Hits, who's in the chat tonight. You guys said that Capcom is back, but is that true? He goes, I'm not minimizing the recent successes, but are remakes of beloved classics that made a lot of money and a new installment of Street Fighter, which also sells systems, really considered being back? In my opinion, if a new IP like Pragmata is a huge success, and if they brought back one of the neglected fighting game franchises, then I'd say Capcom is back. What do you think? Again, you got to take it into tally. We're not just saying because of what Capcom has released this year, we're back. We've been saying, okay, Capcom, you're doing good with all these re-releases of old games. That's great. We need to see new shit. They finally gave us new shit in the form of Monster Hunter World, Resident Evil 7, and Resident Evil Village, right? And Carlos and I specifically have been saying, okay, Capcom, you're almost there. You need one more thing to be fully back. A good fighting game, right? Because Street Fighter V was all fucked up. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was stupid. So we're like, okay, you give us that one more thing, we're going to officially say you're back. Bam! Street Fighter VI, baby. And we're not even, I'm not even talking about the Resident Evil remakes, which are also awesome. We're even discounting that. I think Capcom is back.
Yeah.
The Monster Hunter Worlds.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World, Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil 7, Street Fighter 6 now. And yes, on top of the remakes, on top of that, giving people what they want. Yeah, they're back.
They released a good Devil May Cry game.
Yeah.
They listened.
Yeah, and Devil May Cry, that's right, yeah.
This is something that a lot of us hope Konami does. Yeah. It's like, hey, you are sitting on all these classic franchises. Look what Capcom's doing. Do the same shit. Fix them up. Bring new ones. Bring a lot of these back from the grave and let's see what we have. And maybe they're on that path with the whole Metal Gear thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that again, because we're trying to be a little objective about it. I understand you want some specific games back. That's cool. So would I. But it's like they've gotten their main pillars back, you know, Resident Evil Street Fighter specifically, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're bread and butter. These are the ones that brought them to the dance. And it's like, shoot, we got to give them some new moves. So people keep dancing.
Oh, Barry Bird, I'm glad you bring this up. He goes, no Final Fight, revenge, sequel, boycott. Here's the thing. Do you guys remember that Capcom leak from a couple of years ago? Guess not. Well, so there was a big leak with Capcom, and a lot of the games that were listed in that leak have already either come out or have been announced. Only one hasn't been announced yet, Final Fight Remake. So I think that's probably going to be the next one. And Kadam, I don't know about you, man, when I'm playing World Tour mode, I'm like, this is motherfucking 3D Final Fight.
Yeah, you know? Well, there's that and Final Fight's in the game.
Yeah, it when is
you're
in the that game,
arcade
yeah,
area. You could play it, you know. And I'm telling you, I love it. I was really surprised by that too. In that world tour, and then you got your buddy and you're fighting yeah. and throwing people around. I'm like, oh wow, that you could do this. Why haven't you made a Final Fight a new one?
Yeah, but again, just walking around the streets at night, you're getting constantly jumped and shit. Yeah. I'm like, this is Final Fight,
exactly.
You know, just like when I was playing Yakuza, it was like, oh, this is like Streets of Rage, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Capcom is definitely back for sure.
Can you explain this mechanic to me? Because it sounds a lot like what I said that made Absolver really cool.
You mean walking around and beating people? But the thing is, did you have a open world ish to explore as well?
Yeah,
yeah. And there's also the other factor, Brett. Let's just be honest here. It's a franchise that I'm familiar with. Like I'm exploring Metro City from Final Fight. That's pretty cool. You know?
Oh no, so you just walk around the city like. Then does it like cut to a fight, or are you just walking in and you're fighting a guy?
Oh no, yeah, yeah. Like as soon as you initiate the fight, it goes into classic Street Fighter 2D fighting mode.
They touch fists, you know.
Yeah, they touch fists. Right, there's a transition, and then you go, you know, with your health bars and everything. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that difference. Yeah, you're not fighting right there on the spot, like you would in Absolver. You know.
And the multiplayer thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
But this is where I think like the future of gaming is going to go. Like, cause somebody's going to realize like, oh wow, wait a minute. Like you can actually make a live service game where you're kind of like, you know, just run around. You can just run around and just street fight the shit out of people. So make your own street gang, just make a big world. Like, you know, they're going to find a way to kind of combine Final Fight, Absolver, Street Fighter, like this kind of thing, and put together.
Oh,
and
people will
play it. I'd play that.
Make it happen. Brett, make it happen.
Even the Warriors by Rockstar had a mode.
Oh, the Warriors would be perfect.
Remember when they had where you can do the big brawls and everyone's fighting on rooftops and the goal was to like throw the guys off the roofs and they're just brawling and using bottles and pipes and stuff? There you go. Do it like on this level. That'll be amazing.
World Tour mode. Yeah. That, to me, that's a game changer right there, man.
Yeah, and if you could focus, like, here's my question though, Tony. At that point, is it still a fighting game?
If it transitions into normal 2D mode, then yes, it still is a fighting game. But if you're just beating people up right there on the spot with a 3D camera, then I don't consider that a fighting game.
It's just a beat 'em up.
Yes, yeah, just a beat 'em up. Yeah. Just like Final Fight.
I don't want to see the transition. I want to see the 3D. Like, again,
that's cool, but I wouldn't consider that a fighting game then. No.
It's too bad the game is dead because I tell you, I really want you to play Absolver and tell me that's not a fighting game.
Yeah, but the thing is, I did play some of it though. It definitely blurs the line because this shit is as deep as an actual fighting game, you know? It's just not set up like a fighting game is. You know, one character here on this side and that side. It's not set up like that.
But it has
the bones. Yeah, but it has the bones of it for sure. The fighting mechanics are just as deep as any real fighting game, you know?
It's got 3D fighting mechanics. And like you go from like, you know, running around to kind of like you then drop into your stance, but like that's a fairly seamless transition. And like as soon as we get to that point, like that's where I can see a live service game because people want to put their skills up against other random assholes that they just run up against. And with Fortnite being the thing, I'm telling you, I'm looking at my crystal ball now. I'm like, somebody's going to make like an open world live service hybrid fighting brawler game. And like, you'll be able to kind of build skills that help you kind of customize your character. And you'll be able to 1v1 or do like free for all. And so people are going to want to build different builds for that. Like, it's going to be a whole thing, man.
What I would like to see, and they're sort of hinting on it with Capcom with the World Tour. Yeah, you can go around and you pick up skills and you mesh your character with all these known moves. Man, if you can create your own moves, if there was like an editor where you can create your own moves and combos and those type of things, that's the next level right there. Because then your character really is unique all around. If I made my guy just full drunken master, but I made him do all kinds of weird shit. That would be awesome. And who knows, maybe that will be the next step. Just add a mode. It's like, hey, create a moveset, create a combo.
Hate to sound like a dead horse, man. That's kind of what Absolver is. The only difference is that it had this weird, and I think this was its downfall, it had this weird system where I thought it was really cool, but it was like a directional move system. So your movement was based on your direction, but you could also swap directions, but then you could put different moves. Like if you put a guy who punched, and then kind of spun to the right, then you could finish out that kind of move slash combo with like a hook. So you could make it go from like a right punch to a left jab, and then you swing around back to deliver an elbow, or right punch into a left jab that swings down and forward into an uppercut kind of thing. Like, you can customize it down to that level, build your own fighting style. And I thought it was really cool, but I think that a lot of people saw the directional moveset kind of thing and went, oh, it's kind of gimmicky. It was a little weird at first, but then when you get into it, oh my God, it flow. Like, I can see why they, it's like somebody who had just never designed, like, never played a fighting game, brilliantly crafted a fighting game, and you're like, it really works when you get down into it, but it's so foreign that I honestly think it kind of tanked. It was a bit of an albatross, man. Like, I think a lot of people, especially like in the fighting community, looked at it and went, well, what is this? You're like, you're like spinning around directions. This isn't a fighting game. I'm like, you get down to it, you're like, man, this feels like fighting. This feels like Dead or Alive or fucking Tekken or Soul Calibur. Like, it feels kind of like one of those games. It just, I don't know, man. I'm sad it's never probably going to get a sequel or a spiritual successor, because I love the concept. And I see Street Fighter doing a whole bunch of it. Like, the whole, like, you can design your character, you can put together movesets, you can build combos. Then you throw a couple
of RPGs. You can't build combos. You can't do the combos.
You can build. But you know what? I felt when I was playing, I was like, oh, they took all this from Tekken. Because the latest Tekken, Tekken 7, did a lot of this. Create your own character. Do whatever you want. Make them tall. Make them skinny. Make them fat. You can do whatever. And that's what you can do in this one. You can make some freaky-looking character.
Yo, what was the name of that one Mortal Kombat game that had a mode similar to this, where it's a 3D and you're running around and shit? There was one Mortal Kombat game that let you do that. It wasn't a mainline Mortal Kombat game. It was one of those offshoot Mortal Kombat games. But within it, there was a mode just like World Tour mode.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so this concept has been around for a while. It was like PS2 era, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, it's not, the concept is new. Like, the reason I'm like, oh, I think this might blow up is because, like, if you look at live service games and everything that makes them make so much money, right? They're, it has so many things in common with, like, I think the idea has really yet to float, but, like, live service games, like, you're building a character, you get connected to your character. You wanna boost their training, but you have like skills like maybe light attacks hit 10% faster. So you can like kind of alter your character a little bit like that. Then you have the cosmetics, and then you have the PvP. You do the whole thing so you can round around and then go back and just street fight motherfuckers. And then on Saturday nights, you have a 20-person street brawl. I mean, it's got all of the key hook marks that like make Destiny addictive, and you can appeal that to a fighting game crowd if you actually made it feel like a fighting game. That is an untapped market, my friend.
Yeah, someone make it happen. Give this man hit the game he wants, people. Yeah, all right, let's move on here. Another one from Mob Hits. What is the greatest marketing campaign for a video game you've ever seen?
Oh, greatest.
Again, since we're talking about fighting games, right? Mortal Kombat! Remember Mortal Monday? That was crazy.
Mortal Monday, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, Sonic Tuesday. That was the first time a video game actually got released on a specific day. Before games just released whatever, you know?
$9.99.
That was awesome.
For Dreamcast.
That was huge.
Live action Call of Duty with all the actors. The Hollywood actors, remember Robert Downey Jr., everybody, like, they're all in different vehicles. They're running just to prove a point that people of all different classes play. It was really cool the way they put it. They got a lot of big name actors just to run around, and people, it was a great commercial.
Remember the Your Mom Hates Dead Space?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember that. What was that one game? I think it was. Was it Dead Island, where it's like the commercial for it was like not even what the game was about? Yeah, that was it.
That was a good bug.
I gotta say, I think it's fan service. Like, look at Elden Ring, man. Like, if they didn't just keep letting you make stupid fucking jokes and poison swamps and bare feet and all the stuff, like the self aware insider stuff, it causes the fan base to just evangelize and meme the fuck out of whatever they're doing, and they just spread it. And like, those are the ones that hit the hardest impact, I feel like.
Yeah, but what about like dedicated, like, you know, PR marketing? Like, what do you think was the best one?
Best?
Sony do what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, that was great. Adam, I'm surprised you didn't bring up Halo 3. Remember, that was huge, you know, the marketing for that.
Well, it was a big marketing, but I was already sold on it, so it didn't really pull me.
We're talking about in general. We're talking about in general, not, you know.
Isn't it Genesis does what Nintendo does?
Yeah. Genesis, yeah.
That was
Genesis
huge. But yeah, I remember that Halo 3 was huge. You couldn't get away from that shit.
Sorry, Sega does.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, that was huge.
That was one that had billboards everywhere. Was it Grand Theft Auto? Was it Vice? I mean, Grand Theft Auto 4. I mean, they would fill up like the full size of a building. It would look fake now if somebody saw it. And they were putting them everywhere. Damn, I wanted to think it was Grand Theft Auto 4. I don't know. But there was one in particular. It just was like everywhere. They were always showing ads on Times Square. It was all over the place. I'm like, this is going to be big. They're putting a lot of money into it. I don't know. It's just, in my mind, it keeps coming up as Grand Theft Auto.
Also, we can't forget the legend of Kevin Butler.
Yes. Yeah, that was hype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, when he came out of E3, that was hilarious.
Yeah. Man, I'm so... He won. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just said he won E3.
Yeah, he did win E3. Yeah. No, I'm just getting fucked up. And I'm like, what is this Mortal Kombat game? That 3D shit.
I just put it.
Perception. Yeah, Adam put Deception.
Yeah. Deception? Okay, there we go.
2004.
Ah, yes, Deception. All right, cool. Go ahead.
The first Gears trailer is just one of the most memorable things.
Well, the second one, that was the one with the sad song.
That was the second one? I thought it was the first one.
Yeah, Sad, Sad World, because he was coming back. And it was after all the tragedy.
Adam, that's Gears 1, not Gears 2.
Gears 1? Are you thinking of the poem then?
No, the song Manny's singing.
I had a rendezvous with death. The rendezvous with death.
No. The all around me, all familiar place. That's Gears 1.
You should see.
Adam. Come on, man. You're the Gears guy.
I got too many.
You should know this, Adam.
It's too many.
You're an expert. Keep track of marketing. No, man, the data's in your tattoo. You just got to look at it.
It doesn't have song lyrics. I'm sorry, Manny. There's no song lyrics in my tattoo. It's just a logo. Let me see.
The song's called Mad World, by the way.
Yeah, that's Gears 1, dude.
All right, so then I'm thinking of the rendezvous with death. That's in Gears 2, where the poem... And he's saying, I had a rendezvous with death. And he's going through the whole thing. It's a guy talking about when he was in war. Really good.
Because that trailer got me into Gears. Like that was my introduction to it. And I'm like, damn, this is interesting.
Because I used to play a lot of Unreal Tournament. I was like, man, these guys look like Unreal characters. And it's like, this is crazy. Especially the Baird. He looks just like the guy in the front cover of a tournament. And then sure enough, I found out that it was fucking Cliff Bleszinski and... He created that and he ported those characters over, and that's what it was. It was supposed to be an open world version with those characters, and they were like, shit, we're gonna make a whole other game. Okay, we're not using Unreal, we're gonna make it something else. There we go. But they look exactly like characters in Unreal.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. All right, moving on here. Chackzilla. All right. What is one game you'd be excited to see at the Xbox showcase? Oh boy. So what's one game you'd be excited to see at the Xbox showcase?
That's easy. We just said it. Gears.
Gears?
Let's get this Gears 6. I mean, this was already said Gears for the longest.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, the latest rumors coming around now from people saying that this is a given because of some of the teasers is that we're going to get a Fable collection that come to PC. That we're going to get a Gears collection, just like the Master Chief type of setup, also coming to PC. And that's great and all. I'd like to see it, but I want to see Gear 6. I want to see Gear 6 on the new Unreal Engine, because that's why they said they delayed it, because they decided they were going to port it over and Epic was helping them, and that they were going to put this on the new engine. And I want to see that, and I want to hear dates that it's coming out this holiday, and that'll be their big game. Exclusive first party game besides whatever the other one that what's that other shit, the Starfield. I do want a Gears, so to me that would be it, because I know my fantasy of a table tennis, that's never gonna happen, so there's no point bringing that up, but definitely Gears, that should be a given.
Smart
Bob's got me better to wake up dead.
Send to a sacrifice. you know, whatever the hell it's called now, the sequel, Hellblade 2. Give me, that's what I want to see.
Is the Senua's Saga?
Senua's Saga. That's what it is, yeah.
Saga sounds like they're going to have, like, multiple DLCs.
Uh-oh.
You know what? I'll go with that, too. I'd like to see the new
Yeah, Manny, I didn't want to say nothing, but I was tempted to answer for you as well, because I know you.
I really enjoyed that game, and that they think, you know, and also I just really dig Ninja Theory stuff. I, to be honest, I sort of wish they would take another stab at the Monkey King game.
Yes, again, yeah, but, Legacy. I'll be watching, oh, my God, Odyssey to the West,
yeah, the sort of future Monkey King.
Enslaved, game. Is it called Enslaved?
Enslaved, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'm throwing a random wild card in there, even though it's probably not going to happen. The Hideo Kojima game that he's working on for Xbox. Not going to happen,
whatever that is, yeah.
Oh, that Enslaved game right now, Green Man Games, have like on sale for like $2.
Oh, I bought that shit years ago.
I bought that years ago.
No, I know, but if anybody wants it on PC, playing on
Steam, I got it on PC too, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But right now, it's cheap. So
birthday's tomorrow, Adam, so
let's go.
Oh, shit, that's right, 15. There we go. Here we go.
Yeah, I'll go down the line here. Brett, I'm going to answer for you, Starfield. You know?
I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm like, yeah, it's tough to ask for anything beyond that. I'd like to hear some update on Fable. I'd like to hear it's actually either being developed well or handed off to a studio who's re-announcing it to do good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the Forza team that turned 10.
I don't know how I feel about that, man. They make racing games.
I know. They're trying to spread their wings.
Playground Games, isn't it?
Is it Playground or Turn 10? I don't know. It's one of those.
Turn 10 makes the sim version of...
version. So it's the Horizon team, not the Forza team?
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, yes.
One of those teams. Anyway, it's a racing team. It's a team that does racing that's working on it.
Yeah. Carlos, what about you, man?
Yeah, Starfield. I mean, it's the game I know is going to come out for sure. It's in the title of the thing.
You know,
it's a game that I'm it's a game that I'm looking forward to, and and I know I'm going to get a lot from it. So hopefully it's good, and that's why I'm expecting it, because it's really tough to expect anything from these conferences anymore, because you just don't know what the hell they're going to do or not do.
Yeah. What about you?
For example, I would. A lot of people are expecting Senua's Saga, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't show it either.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, that was the second part of his question. Like, what are the chances these games will be shown? I don't think Senua's Sacrifice or whatever is going to be shown, but I would it to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of third parties. I could already see, like, EA.
Adam, do you think afterwards Sony's going to come out with their own tweet? Hey, we got these games coming. Xbox did that shit? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I could definitely see it because with EA, with a lot of games that I know they're working on, but we didn't see any of them shown off, like the Skate, the UFC, a few of those type of games. I could see that.
Anyway, Chris, what about you, man?
Showcase. I mean, if they get a new Forza, I would rather be surprised. I would rather hear like Scalebound is on again, maybe from another studio. Like not Platinum. Platinum, they excommunicated them. So you know, from somebody else. Like if that game was still happening, I feel like there's a few like Japanese even inspired or styled games that just fell through the cracks for our Xbox. So that would surprise me if any of those came out. Phantom Dust too. That never happened.
Yeah,
they should get that back on track.
You know, I wouldn't put too much faith in this show if it wasn't for Microsoft talking about, oh, we're going to put this in theaters and it's free for people to attend. It's like, shit, really? You want everybody to go in and just see that you're spending all this money putting it in theaters? That's not cheap. So there's got to be something special.
You're spending all this money to disappoint people in theaters?
Yeah, exactly. For what? So people can throw shit and be like, damn, I'm glad I didn't pay for this, but I did pay for this bullshit drink that was overpriced. Ugh, I'll throw this shit at the screen.
Yeah. Hold on. So this is what Chakula says. He goes, I'm excited to see the fruits of the labor the studios have been working on since they were acquired by Xbox. I just hope they finally can nail some bangers and get the next gen of console wars started. America versus Japan. Oh boy. All right. Next question here. Are there other gaming? This is an interesting one. Are there other gaming consoles in Asia that are not known to the American consumer? I was amazed at the different cell phone makers in China and India who have brands I've never heard of. Are all these consoles just knockoffs like Soulja Boy's bullshit? Yeah, there's a lot of consoles that we don't know of, and they're mostly just a bunch of knockoffs.
Knockoffs. They have crazy names and stuff, whether they just look like Switches, but then they have PCs inside running a version of Windows or Android. They're all knockoffs.
Yeah, so yeah, but a bunch of knockoffs over there. He also asked us what innovations do we want to see in gaming. We get asked that question like every 6 months, so we did it a few episodes ago. All right, moving on here. Black Metal Gamer is back. Here's another question that he seems to like to ask us. And no, I'm not saying the acronym that you have for MAG, bruh. I didn't say it before. I ain't saying it again, you know? He wanted me to say he wants it to be renamed Fun Action Game. I am not saying that acronym on air, sir. You know, so his first question is, which old PlayStation multiplayer game should return as a modern live service game?
What game should return as a modern
PlayStation multiplayer game from the past? Has to be a PlayStation multiplayer game.
There's not many back in
there's the not game. Many, man. Yeah. Like,
that was the thing.
Wait, no, they're turning the multiplayer from Last of Us.
Yeah, give the people Factions already. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go, Factions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since Sony's not going to be making PlayStation's not going to be making any more Uncharted games, just turn that into a service game too. You know, the whatever the fuck that thing was called, Uncharted multiplayer. There you go. Yeah.
Resistance. That's my answer.
Okay, there you go.
Because I feel like Resistance in general. You could possibly strip a lot of that story away and get, you know, just have that world and mm-hmm. not be too intrusive. You know, just give a little bit of history. Kind of like what they did with, what Bungie did with Marathon. Literally stripped all the story plot away and all you have is a multiplayer game with a bunch of robots blowing each other up.
Oh, man.
I would want Freedom Force, but that wasn't exclusive. But still, that would be an awesome game to bring back, especially with the multiplayer and the aspects of modern tech now. Do you remember that game? Where Russia invades and you were a plumber and you would travel through the sewers and you would build up a resistance of people and you could have like a whole mob of people just fighting a bunch of Russians in the street and stuff. And
I thought Freedom Force the superhero game?
Freedom Fighters? No, Freedom Fighters. Yeah, that's Freedom Force. Freedom Fighters is what I'm talking about. Freedom Fighters.
By the way, Sir Rich a lot. You know, you already know who Rich is. By the way, Rich, thank you for being on Throwdown on Thursday, man. That was awesome. You know, yeah, Adam, you missed that one. We had him on to talk about Street Fighter VI. No, it's a good time.
He was freaking out.
Yeah. But you got your thoughts out about Street Fighter VI now, so we're good. You know, because people wanted to hear what we thought of it. But it seems me, you, and Rich are on the same boat.
Well, oh yeah, game. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
it's great.
I mean, the only difference I bump heads with all is with you because you're talking about getting a joystick. I like just using a D-pad. I use a fight
for
stick.
Life, baby. For I life, can't imagine. You know?
I feel dirty when I play my game and I'm using a fucking D-pad. I'm like, this is wrong.
No, but yeah, no, you need the D-pad, bro. Got to get the D-pad.
Playing a racing game without a wheel.
You can't knock it. I watched the guy in the Killer Instinct tournament, and he was disabled. He had his hands were messed up. He used a standard Xbox controller. He got third place. He was whooping people's asses, and everybody had like custom sticks and everything. He just had a standard Xbox controller.
Again, man, preferences, man. Anyway, this is what Rich said. He goes, "We will see Gear 6 at the Xbox showcase in 2026.
Don't say these things. I thought we were cool, Rich. Why do you say these bad things?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. I think we answered that one more or less. Next up here, which classic game studios are shells of their former selves? Can we just say the obvious? Konami? Let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, I would say Konami.
Yeah, Konami. They are not what they used to be, man.
Yeah, a lot of their. I mean, it's just part of the plain fact. There's not any of the people that were originally made those games. A lot of the people that made headed those games that you love over there are not there. And then also, I think they're very sort of like iffy on whenever they want to, you know, to put anything out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but I think that is all the problem of budgeting. where, in other words, now in order to make those sort of cornerstone games, you got to spend a lot of money, and I don't think everybody's willing to go and do that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, any other companies you feel are not what they used to be?
Acclaim. Where are they?
they haven't been a company in at least 10 years.
I know. Bring them back. Make bad games again. That's all they do.
Is it controversial to say Ubisoft?
Yeah, they need to bring it back too.
You're right. Yeah.
They've been screwing up, man.
I don't have a controversial one, but it's still going to hurt. BioWare.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
I wanted to say it, but I also did. I thought it, Carlos, but I didn't want to say it. You know, it hurts, man. It hurts.
And yeah, they're just not the same. I mean, I will mention another one, even though Brett really loved their last game, and that's Rare. Because Rare was probably one of, if not the best development studios back in the day. They developed everything, a huge chunk of my childhood, and then they're just like, they got relegated to doing Avatars, and then they did Sea of Thieves, which was their best thing that they've done in the last like 20 years.
Yeah. All right. Any other companies? All right. That's all we can think of. All right. Last question of the night, people. This is a sponsored question. Who is this? Lunar Diaries? Who is this guy? I think he's a smart dude. He's sponsoring Mob Hits' question. And the question is, Did the Nintendo Switch save Nintendo? For no reason whatsoever, I'll let Chris answer this one first. Uh-oh.
They blocked him again.
Yeah, blocked him again.
Bowser just
couldn't. Damn, Bowser's like, fuck that.
Yo, yeah. All right. Yo, I got a DMCA right
now. Yeah, right there.
I was like, I didn't even start talking yet.
Getting DDoS real time.
You know?
Yeah. The thing with their finances at the end of the Wii U was, they were in dire straits. Like, they were counting on the Wii U to follow the success of the Wii. And it sold maybe like 1/9 of the Wii's total sales. Like, I mean, you had 13 million compared to like, what, 115, 116 million previous system sales. And obviously, if you have low system sales, you have low software sales. So they had that rough patch. And Nintendo's had rough patches before. The GameCube was a rough patch. I think N64 is fairly successful, not as successful as Super Nintendo, but it was fairly successful. But that was the roughest patch I think they had. So did the Switch save them? No, but it didn't. I don't think they could have taken another hit like the Wii U, right? If the Switch did what Tony and I said it was going to do, they would be in fucking bad shape. Yeah,
it'd be bad.
I mean, we all thought it was, at least I did. I think Brett was the only one that was like, no, it's going to work.
Yeah, sure. We all thought it was over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that, they were teetering, but they couldn't have had another Wii U, right? If the Switch turned into that, if it was just like low sales, low acceptance rate, low hardware sales, low software sales, then it would have been in like real fucking trouble. Like, so I guess in a way it did. They needed it to be a success. And at that time, they had not, as they are now, diversifying their licensing, getting into visual content, the deal with Universal, the movies, all this stuff. They didn't have that diverse content, right? So what would happen? Could they have gone down the route of Sega? Quite possibly starting to put software on other consoles, right? Because they, you know, their hardware wouldn't have made the revenue, and then. And also selling off stuff. Like during the Wii U days, they sold off their share of the Mariners. They were getting rid of things to stay liquid. So, I mean, in a way, it did, because I want to say like they weren't right like at the edge at the end of the Wii U, but they were close. They couldn't have handled another failure like that, and then they couldn't have also at the same time. The 3DS was still existing when the Switch came out. They couldn't have written that either, because like you have this hybrid handheld console and then you have a handheld, and they couldn't have done what they usually do. It's like, okay, we'll just lean on our handheld. It's like you now have two handhelds. Like you can't, that's not going to work. People are like, well, this is a superior handheld, but I don't know, for whatever, if things didn't work out, like then you have this old handheld. So they were in a bit of a pickle, I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much said it all right there. But it, yeah, because people just think it saved them. Like, no, they probably could have. They still had enough money, but yeah, it's like they were in bad straits for sure.
I mean, there's another way to think about it, and I've said this before, and people don't like it. It's not that they were miraculously saved by their by the seat of their pants. It was a really well controlled PR fall, right? Like Nintendo, the console maker, folded. That's what happened. Nintendo, the handheld maker, stayed in the market and adopted some of their audience by transitioning over. But I don't know if Nintendo is ever going to make a console again, man.
I agree with that. And you're right about that. Like one of the problems with the Wii U was the marketing. People thought it was an accessory to the Wii. They didn't realize it was a full console. With the Switch, they let you know this is brand new, right? And here's what it does. It's called a Switch. You can switch between a handheld and a console. The marketing was very clear. There was no like wishy-washiness about it. So you know,
yeah. And as much as it is a console, it is also primarily leaning on its history and its audience in the handheld market. They're like, what do we do well? Handheld. Is there a way that we can do that and kind of scoop it into the console market? Like, yes, we can also save face while downsizing to one thing. Instead of making these two, you know, a home console and a handheld, we can just downgrade to one. Like, it was brilliant PR. It really was. But it wasn't as much the huge success as it was like this saving grace, Hail Mary, cutting all the sandbags free kind of moment.
Yeah. All right, man. That is it for us. So a couple of things here. So this week will be pretty heavy. We have the Summer Game Fest is kicking off on Thursday, I believe. So we'll obviously be covering that. And then on Sunday, we have two shows for you. We're going to be streaming our live reaction to the Xbox Showcase. And then obviously that night, we'll do Throw On Your Questions. We'll be taking your questions about everything that has been shown that weekend. So lots of stuff coming from Throwdown, man. It's gonna be busy. So stay tuned for that, man. And with that, do we have anything to plug before we sign off?
Well, hopefully tomorrow we'll have another episode of Fear the Walking Dead for episode 4 for the final season, which is pretty much our garbage right now. So
oh shit.
We'll just keep bitching about it until it's over, and then Dead City starts, and that should be solid. From what I've seen, it should be solid.
Yeah. All right.
I am Negan.
Yeah, I am Negan. There you go, man. All right. Make sure you follow. By the way, What's up?
Adam, I don't know if you want to let the people know, but you might not be here for.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on vacation. So I will be back next Thursday.
All right. So you're going to miss out on all the fun next week.
Yeah, man. I'll miss out.
Where you going, yo? Where you going?
Be in St. Louis. Going to St. Louis for a while, so
nice.
Yeah, that's why I thought I was going to go a little closer to where Brett was, but they're like, no, we're going to St. Louis. Oh,
all right. Well, there it is, man. Have fun out there, you know. All right, people, make sure you follow Throw Down on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throw Down Show. That's two words: Throw Down Show. ThrowDownShow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Shout out to Tony, because I noticed one thing yesterday. He's the only person that I know that has the same exact username for everything.
Damn right.
Everyone else, I and I'm not even joking, everyone else has a different name on every single different type of service. But shout out to Tony.
Yeah, that's by design, man. I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm like, no, same name. And since I made it up, I don't have to put any fucking numbers after it, you know?
I got a friend request from Brett, but yeah. I didn't know his brother. I was like, who the hell is Grimes?
Yeah, I'm consistent. If it's Robbie Death, it's me, you know? Except no imitations. Adam Vale.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody.
And, of course, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Right, people, well, you already know, man. Thursday. Later.
Peace.
Peace.